This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On our Oakwood Hard Doulas Talk and Text line from Crescent City Sports, Renee Nadeau. Renee, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Renee, it's been twice in the same week I get to see you. We were at the voting for the Saints Hall of Fame, and then now I get to talk to you on the air. So great to hear your voice again.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? Hey, Charlie, how you doing? It's always good to be with you, Mike. Yeah, we broke bread the other day and got a chance to visit, and always good to be with you, buddy.
Ask you about the staff with Kellen Moore now, and you got now three guys that have been former quarterbacks. When you throw in Kellen Moore and today made official with Doug Nussmeier, and you know, and to me, the offensive staff sort of broke kind of how you thought it might. Other than I didn't realize the Nugent part would come into play offensive line, but other than that, it seemed to be kind of fall into place. Now I think the big question mark of how that defensive staff looks, but because I think, you know, this staff got some really sharp offensive minds. Now you need players, ain't no question about that. But the defensive staff is the big question mark for me.
Yeah, Mike, and I think the name that keeps coming up to me and both of you guys, I'm sure, is Brandon Staley, who worked with Kellen with the Chargers, and he was a head coach there. He also was the defensive coordinator for the Rams. And some names tossed around, a guy that is well-known locally, Eric Henderson, who played at Ender Carr and was with the Rams as defensive line coach and now with USC. Yep. Eric Henderson is one of the most respected defensive line coaches around. And another name is Derek Ansley, who was with the Chargers, now with the Packers. He's tied to Brandon Staley as well. And Jay Rogers, who may coach the linebackers, is a possibility, was also with the Chargers, the Falcons, and the Bears. So, you know, you got to think, guys, that if Staley does get it, which it looks like he could, you know, those guys are all tied together, and Kellen is also has a relationship with those guys. So, and going in as a first-time head coach, he's going to need a lot of support, guys he's familiar with and guys he's on step with.
Renee, you and I have done this a long time, and all coaches tell you the same. Yeah, I might be a pretty good coach, but I'm a lot smarter when I got better talent. And this football team, you were talking about this Tuesday. Man, virtually across the board, there isn't a spot that you either don't need a starter or a quality backup guy. And this isn't going to happen overnight. This isn't going to be a repeat of 2006 in what Sean Payton was able to do with 29 new players on the roster. And that team went to the NFC Championship game. That's still, and I've told Coach Payton this before, best coaching job he ever did was 06. It wasn't 09. It was 06 to take that team and to get them that close. This is not a slight rebuild. This is a major retooling of this roster.
Yeah, and you got to knock it down to the foundation. And you know, going back, Mike, as you alluded to, Sean Payton didn't have to deal with the salary cap disability that they have right now. And, you know, Kellen Moore's coming aboard, and he's going to have to get rid of some guys and put his people in place. But that's not going to be easy because that salary cap is going to restrict you on what you can do and who you can bring in. This is going to be a vital draft, as you know, both of you guys know, and free agency. How much free agency will the salary cap allow you? And, you know, names are being tossed around, but these guys don't come cheap. And if you want some high-quality talent in the NFL, you know, it's going to cost you a little money. So I agree with you exactly, Mike. It's going to be a year or so before he can really get in step and get to where he wants to be. And, and that's why I think he's going to bring people around him, like the Brandon Staley's, like the Doug Nussmeier's, that he's been in step with before, been in that room before, and he kind of knows how they think, they know how he thinks.
The salary cap adjustment, we saw it yesterday, and that'll help a little bit when it's finally finalized next week sometime. That's not going to cure all your ills that you have financially in the salary cap situation. It does help. Anytime they kind of cut some of that down a little bit and you get a little extra money taken off of the top, which you're going to need to take still quite a bit off. But I think you're going to have to build this through the draft. And, you know, you and I kind of had a brief conversation about this. When you pick ninth, what you want is a guy that's going to come in and be an impact player year one. Because you can basically say any position, if it's defensive line, if it's cornerback, if it's wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, you name it, they could use help there. You brought up the name to me, Will Johnson, the cornerback from University of Michigan, and if he was still there at nine, and I think you had a projection, and Charlie and I will do one for next Monday, and we'll preview it next week, our mock. But your thoughts on Will Johnson, and he got hurt about midseason, and so it was almost sort of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Man, Will Johnson's one hell of a player at that cover cornerback position, and he's a big corner. He's not a small guy, and we saw how good that Michigan defense was in 2023.
And, Mike, you and I have done this for almost half a century, and you've been much better than I. But you're right. Will Johnson, when we were talking at lunch the other day, Will Johnson, 6'2", 202, runs a 4.4 40, and his dimensions, maybe not his skill set, but his dimensions are very, very similar to Patrick Surtain, who was the Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL this year. You know, Will Johnson surrendered 3 touchdown passes. His Pro Football Focus coverage grade was 82.2. In 32 games with the Wolverines, 9 interceptions, 10 passes broken up, and he was targeted 108 times and drew a 49.5 Pro Football Focus grade. And you got to remember, too, as you both know, Will Johnson did not a lot of teams stayed away from him, so he wasn't targeted a lot. But when he was targeted, he stepped up and made a big play. And like you said, that number 9 pick is going to be vital this year. Everywhere, I think, would be an option except quarterback. I just can't see the Saints taking a quarterback at number 9. But
I don't
you know,
see it either. I agree with you.
Yeah, and cornerback edge and, a lot of spots. But, Mike, I tell you what, Will Johnson, and I could be wrong about this, but he's a guy that if he falls, as you said a second ago, only playing 6 games this year, will that allow him to drop a spot or two and have the Saints sitting there at 9 waiting to see if he falls? And he's got to be one of the top 2 or 3 players they have on their board right now. That's what I would think. And Will Johnson, and you're losing, with Marshawn Lattimore gone, Paulson Adebo, what's going to happen there? You really need somebody to step in there. You know, with Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid coming back, Will Johnson would be a really ideal fit for that defense.
Renee, hopping back to Doug Nussmeier real quick before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the comfort level with Kellen Moore, because they started out basically every year that Kellen Moore's been an OC, Doug Nussmeier has been on his staff. And they started out actually as kind of co-workers when in 2018, before he was the OC of the Cowboys, he was the QB's coach, Kellen Moore was. And then, you know, Nussmeier at that time was the tight ends coach. But then Kellen Moore gets promoted to OC from 2019 through 2022 of the Cowboys. Nussmeier is his quarterback's coach. He moves with him to L.A. as the Chargers QB coach when Kellen Moore becomes the OC of the Chargers. And then he was on Kellen Moore's staff in Philadelphia in 2024. It just feels like there's a certain comfort level here between these two guys, and it just made all the sense in the world for him to follow him to New Orleans.
Yeah, Charlie, that's a good question. And, you know, people remember Nussmeier back with the Saints when he was on in the quarterback room with Everett and Heath Shula and Danny Werfel and Billy Joe Hobert. But Doug has done a great job in coaching. He's coached at Michigan. He's coached at Alabama with Nick Saban. He's won a national championship at Idaho, a Super Bowl championship, a Grey Cup championship, and a national championship with Alabama. So he's won it at every level, and he's got a very good mind. And as we talked about being in lockstep together, Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore know each other very, very well, and there's a trust factor there. And I think Doug and Kellen in the game plan, even though Kellen Moore has talked about calling the plays, there's a trust factor, and they both think along the same lines. And that's vital. And that's, you know, I mean, Kellen Moore is a guy who's being perceived as a mild-mannered kind of guy, highly respected due to his intelligence. But he's going to have to gain the confidence of that locker room. And this is a new group of guys. He had the confidence of the Eagles, Charlie. But the thing is, when he steps into a new locker room with the Saints, they're going to be watching him closely, and he's going to have to really gain that confidence and that trust.
Scott Tolzien, another former quarterback, comes in as the quarterback coach. And he's got a job on his hands because, you know, you think about it, Derek Carr is not the future of this franchise. I think they'll give Rattler certainly every opportunity with training camp. And I guess now to work with your two starting receivers. I mean, because they were lost. A lot of times people kind of throw that out. Look who he was throwing to when he was in the games. And so I think, though, Renee, they're going to have to still go out and get a bridge guy. Even a veteran guy that can come in here to get you to 2026.
Well, you know, and I tell you, would have been a great guy for that. And I mean, I might be the only one thinks this, but Andy Dalton would have been a great guy, you know. But and I can't think that, you know, Spencer Rattler, is he going to be the future? We don't know that. What's Derek Carr's future beyond 2025? But you're right. You got to surround those quarterbacks with talent, and Olave was not available through a lot of the season, and Raheed was injured as well. So you need to bring in a big-time receiver. Will that be through a free agency move or through the draft? I think the draft will address that, but I agree with you. And this roster is going to be upgraded, and that's going to be a tall task to get up to the playing for the conference division crown, at least, because there's some guys on the roster right now. There's going to have to be some moves and decisions made.
Get better up front, offensive, defensive line,
yep.
Big man guys that can help you win, and also maybe a big man receiver. So, Renee, that's just the way I look at it. If you don't get better up front, you stuck in neutral, so to speak.
And I got to think, Mike and Charlie, that they're going to address the offensive line in the first three or four rounds. And I can see them taking a offensive lineman in round two and maybe a defensive lineman in round three. But that's a high priority for 2025.
Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate all your insights, bud, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Renee.
I hope so, guys. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Renee Nato, who covers the not only the Saints, but the prep scene, college football world for Crescent City Sports.